Coming to you right now, it's this week's update with Zach and Tanner.
Welcome back to another episode of this week's update. Zach and Tanner bringing you some basketball and football action on this Sunday afternoon or morning, depending on when you're listening, or really any day of the week, because it's a podcast. Anyway, let's start off by recapping some of the games that happened this past yesterday, otherwise known as Saturday.
past yesterday. Wow, that's...
It's a sentence, I realize.
That'd be, if we had like a quote of the week segment, that would be it. Our past yesterday. I'm going to start using that one from now on.
You know, that's understandable. Anyway, football, it's going on. We had two games yesterday. One game, pretty close. The other game, a blowout. Let's start with the pretty close one. The Jaguars and Chiefs, 27-20, Chiefs on top. They're going back to... Is it their fourth straight AFC championship?
It's either third or fourth. It is. They. But, you know, and.
Well, no, yeah. It couldn't be fourth because the Bills made it that one year and the Chiefs didn't, mm-hmm. I think. Because or did the Chiefs play the Bills that one year? It doesn't really matter. The Chiefs are back in the AFC championship game and probably going to go to the Super Bowl. I don't know. We'll see what's going on. But. They won their game. Then it's next. We got... So, they're winning. They play the winner of...
That Bengals-Bills game.
And Bengals, which should be a good one. I'm sure the Chiefs are hoping it's the Bills, because for some reason, Joe Burrow beats Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs and in the regular season. But, so, that game was pretty good for the most part. It got a little interesting at the end with the field goal and then the onside kick attempt that seemed to roll for a while before the Chiefs finally picked it up. But it was, yeah, but we're talking good football there. Now, what are you thinking about that game?
Well, you know what, Zach? I think, you know, we talk about Mahomes, and of course, the big story with him was he went down going into halftime with that injury and was questionable to come back. And literally, and you and I watched the game, I think it was late in the third quarter fourth quarter, when Mahomes did Mahomes things, you know, just a little lob pass into the end zone to Valdez Scantling on the hurt foot. I mean, he was on the hurt leg. He was hobbling and everything, which is a great story. But you know what? The one player that we absolutely have to, like, give credit for, Harrison Butker. In just two 50-yard field goals. I mean, some guys will get lucky if they ever even get to attempt a 50-yarder. Nonetheless, get two in one game and hit it. So, big props to Harrison Butker. He was kind of one of the more underrated stars just in that game. I mean, there's your 6 points. And, you know, Chiefs ended up winning by a score. So, props to Butker for really bringing the boot out in that game.
Well, you know, he kicked it well. Patrick Mahomes obviously doing Patrick Mahomes things even after, like, I remember after that last touchdown pass, he literally was hopping on one foot to get back to the sidelines because he couldn't really play on it, on the one leg foot. And that's going to matter next week.
Yes.
How healthy is going to be Mahomes? That's going to be the story probably all week in the football world, is how healthy is Patrick Mahomes? But he gutted it out, won the game, they beat the Jags, and, you know... The Jags played pretty well, as expected. The magic ran out just a little bit. For the first time in like 5 weeks, the Jags defense gave up a touchdown, so that's pretty insane. But they should be good next year. Trevor Lawrence played great the second half of the season, and outside of, I guess, one half in the wild card round, he played pretty well in the playoffs too. But now he has officially lost a game on a Saturday in his football career. He was like 3-0 in high school, 32 or 34-0 in college, and now he's 2-1 in the NFL. You know who also hasn't lost a game on a Saturday in the NFL? Patrick Mahomes. He's 5-0 now.
Oh.
So it was the battle of the unbeaten Saturday quarterbacks.
So regardless, because there's no ties, there's none of that. One of these teams was one of those two quarterbacks was getting their first loss on a Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, Patrick Mahomes did lose on Saturdays in college. His quarterback,
right?
His
head coach, just Cliff, right.
His head coach was Cliff Kingsbury.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was. He was bound to like start like 6-0 and then finish the year like 7-8 somehow. I don't know. 7-8 is possible in college football, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. But no, and you know what? You know, we have to remember that Trevor Lawrence, still a young quarterback. He's still getting reps, you know. He just did, unfortunately, when you mentioned Patrick Mahomes, did Patrick Mahomes thing. We saw Trevor Lawrence do Trevor Lawrence things, you know. Didn't really, you know, I mean, he played fine. Like, he played well, and he will, you know, continue to grow and mature. And again, give props to Jacksonville, a team that had to use the, I believe it was third largest comeback in postseason history. And you know what? Give props to the Jaguars. They're a team that, as you said, they'll get better. Wouldn't be surprised if they're in a position where they're in a wild card spot again next year.
You don't think they can win their division again?
No, they could probably. No, they're probably a favorite to win their division. I'm just saying that, you know, they hopefully, you know, they bring all the key pieces back. And, of course, with Trevor at the helm of that team, then I'm thinking that they could have another season. Now, do I think that they're anywhere near a team like the Bills, like the Chiefs or the Bengals? Not yet. In a couple of years, it wouldn't shock me if we at least see them continue to be in the conversation for that hunt.
Okay. We should probably talk about the barn burner that was the Eagles and Giants game. Daniel Jones finally looked like Daniel Jones. He had like 135 yards and a pick, no touchdowns. I don't even think he had a rushing touchdown. That Giants team, man, the Vikings are just bad at defense. They made Daniel Jones and that Giants offense look otherworldly. And then they played a team who actually can play defense and they only scored 7 points. So, I'm surprised those 7 points didn't come by way of the Iowa Hawkeyes, two safeties and a field goal. But, you know, man, the Eagles are a lot better than I think
they're,
I realized.
They're very good.
I knew the Eagles are really, really, really good. I don't think I realized that they were blowout teams in the playoffs good. Even though I knew they were extremely good, I think it's just because they had a bad last month with Hurts' injury. Also, sure. Also, Hurts is probably the...
I know what you...
Hurts might be the MVP. Okay. I think Patrick Mahomes is the better quarterback.
But
I think they might just give Hurts the MVP, and even though I still think Patrick Mahomes should win it.
And listen, I'm always I am a Mahomes fan. I think he has already done so much in the NFL, and if he were to retire right now, he would no question be a Hall of Famer. But what Jalen Hurts, like you could tell, and the Eagles still did. They didn't do great. They didn't do horrendous though when Hurts was bad. But you could tell that this team kind of rides and dies with Jalen Hurts, and literally first throw of the game, and it was a he's back statement. I mean, the Eagles put up 14 in the first quarter, and honestly, it was one of those moments where, even though it was only 14-0 after the first quarter, there just felt like it was already over by the end of the first, that the Eagles just asserted their dominance and really sunk their claws, if that's what Eagles have, sunk their right into the Giants. The
talons? I think it's talons.
I think it is. I don't.
Yeah. Talons are just bird claws. It doesn't really matter. We're not animal scientists. Who cares?
And it's not an animal show. At least I don't.
It's not
right.
An animal show, Tanner. Okay. But really, you know, it's been a thing. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. The 49ers have been playing really well, so I don't want.
Yeah.
And they got a defense that's, I mean, yeah. I don't know. The Giants overachieved a little bit this year, so the fact that they got blown out in the second round of the playoffs isn't exactly surprising. But I will say this. Two quick thoughts about the Giants moving into next year. Both Saquon Barkley and Daniel Jones contracts expire at the end of, or, I mean, essentially they've expired because they're on to next season, right? Even though technically the, what is it, like March 15th or something is when the NFL calendar officially switches to the next year.
Some official, right.
Right. So, like, obviously, there's technically still under contract, but their season's done. they are without a contract to play next year. I mean, the Giants might re-sign Saquon Barkley. I think he'll probably get a bigger contract somewhere else. Like, something crazy like the Bears signed him for 5 years, $60 million, something like that. I don't know. Or, you know, the Jets, because that sounds like something the Jets would do, is overpay a running back who probably has, like, one or two good years left in him. Because Saquon was injured for 2 years, so he doesn't really have the mileage of other running backs at his age yet. So he's probably gone. But, you know, Daniel Jones, I don't know. Maybe they draft a quarterback. Depends. Kind of depends, I think, on where the draft falls.
This was just a weird Giants team because, like you said, they still made the postseason. They weren't bad. They still had a lot of – they still achieved quite a bit for a team that was just very – and I'm being nice, maybe a little above average, but you know what? Give props to the Giants still having a solid season and making that postseason play. So, like you said, depends on what the moves they make. Do I think they'll be back next year, regardless of any of the signings? If they do, it's just going to be barely. But I don't know if we're going to expect to see the Giants again next year. But all pending on what happens to Barkley and Jones.
Right. So, it's very true. But we're gonna step aside. We're gonna preview some football action for the games that are being played today, at the time of this recording. So we'll be back on this week's update. Back on this week's update. We got two games going on today. The 49ers, they're taking on a team known as the Cowboys. I did that for dramatic effect. It's America's football team. Also, the Bills are playing the Bengals.
Those are two really good games.
Yeah, those games should be
great games.
Okay, no. The Cowboys games either are going to be great or the Cowboys are going to get blown out. There's no in between. There's no in between. You know I'm correct.
I will give props to this because when we made our predictions, we both erred on the side of going with ride or die with Brady. And you know what? Give props to the Cowboys.
They did blow up Brady.
They did, but you know what? I didn't want to pick the Cowboys, and I really wanted to. You know this. We talked about this last week. I didn't want to pick I wanted to pick the Cowboys, but at the same time, I could never pick against Brady. And there's all other talks which we'll keep updated throughout the course of whatever happens with him. But regardless, I will say this, the Cowboys did make a statement, but, and you mentioned this in our last segment, the 49ers are playing some really good football. So that is one that, as you mentioned, if the Cowboys play like they did against the Bucs, we're going to have ourselves a great game. If they don't, then it, like you said, with the in-between, and it'll either be, even if the Cowboys play great, it'll either be a close game, or 49ers are going to be heading, are going to be moving on.
Right, and yeah, I do think the 49ers won this game just because I think their defense is playing so well. And you know what? This is going to come down to who I think the better coach is. Kyle Shanahan is a better coach than Mike McCarthy. Yes, I know Mike McCarthy has a Super Bowl, but he did it with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is one of the 10 best quarterbacks of all time. 10 best.
Yeah.
I think Kyle Shanahan got there with Jimmy Garoppolo, and they almost won it. They probably should have won it, but Jimmy Garoppolo missed a throw. Now, Jimmy Garoppolo's solid, but he's not Aaron Rodgers level, and he got there. He almost made it back with Jimmy Garoppolo. They got to the AFC or NFC Championship game last year, and so, you know, it's hard to say who. So I'm just saying, I think this is going to come down to coaching. Dak is better than Brock Purdy, yes. Brock Purdy's been playing really well, but I'm not going to say Dak is worse than Brock Purdy just because Dak's been doing it for longer.
Mm-hmm.
And he's had sustained years of success, and I think that matters.
I will say this. It is good to see Dak because, of course, I remember when he had his injury. I believe it was last season, right? And you could tell the Cowboys were upset because he was off to a really good start and he had an injury and was out. And so I agree with you, but as you know, when it comes to any sport at any level, it's all about who is playing the best football right now, and I will give Brock Purdy props. He is playing some really good football at the right time, but he is also going up against a solid, solid Cowboys team. So yeah, if Brock Purdy plays like he has been, then he can make things really interesting for the 49ers just over the course of his young career on what they're going to do with him.
The only thing I'm saying is if this game comes close, it's hard to say how well Brock Purdy's going to play because he's been playing great. But Coach Shanahan's been scheming up some just wide open passes. Brock Purdy's not just, you know, managing the game. He's like scrambling to make plays and extend plays to make throws downfield. He's been playing fantastic. It's just the question becomes, the game's on the line. 2 minutes left. You're down by six. Sure. You gotta march 70 yards to win the game. We haven't seen him do it. Is he going to be able to do it, or does he shrink
right,
under pressure?
No, you're right. And honestly, as you mentioned, you know, even though Dak hasn't got many opportunities, he's been in a lot of on-the-line game situations over the course of his career, whether just in the regular season or in the postseason. And so I will say that experience does come into play. Example, during prime Tom Brady years, we knew if you gave Tom Brady too much time, you might as well go ahead and chalk out the W for whichever team, whether the Patriots or whether the Bucks. So that's a good point you bring up there. And it comes down to who comes off to the hot start. If it comes to be a close game, maybe the Cowboys have the edge just because Dak has been in those moments before.
I will say this. I think so. Brock Purdy has been kind of doing this for years, and I think it's gone under the radar. So in college, obviously he played at Iowa State, mm-hmm. right?
Shout out to Tyrese Halliburton for wearing a Brock Purdy jersey at their last game.
Right, because Tyrese Halliburton
yep, Iowa State, yep.
also went to Iowa yep. State. But so Brock Purdy went to Iowa State. Let's think about this. Matt Campbell, the head coach at Iowa State. 3 9-win seasons with Brock Purdy as quarterback, right? Last year they went like 6-7, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Without Brock Purdy, Matt Campbell was talked about as a coach who was rising and above Iowa State, but Iowa State was holding him back. He didn't look great before Brock Purdy or after Brock Purdy. I'm just saying, it was probably Brock Purdy a little bit. I think he was a little better than we realized, but, you know, he was at Iowa State. They were winning 9 games. He looked, you know, his numbers were not insane. But was he held back by the talent at Iowa State? Or has he just grown that much in a year? It's probably a combination of both. Mm-hmm. But that's here nor there. We should probably talk about this other game. Oh, man. Bills and Bengals. This game should be fantastic.
Yes, no question. No question about it. You got two great, great quarterbacks in Burrow and Allen. Of course, with the Bills still riding off of DeMar Hamlin. And again, we have to mention, just absolutely amazing to see DeMar's progress with everything and giving support to the Bills. Like, just, it is great to see DeMar continuing to make more and more progress each and every day. So, Bills playing good. They squeaked out last week. And the Bengals, though, Joe Burrow's proven that that he is a true big-time player in the playoffs. So, Zach, you mentioned it. This should be a really good game that, quite frankly, could come down to the final drive for who's moving on to take on the Chiefs.
Yeah, this game definitely feels like it's going to come down to a last possession matchup. Just who is going to be able to get the ball on that final drive down 6 and drive 70 yards. Both these quarterbacks can do it. Whoever has the ball last is probably going to win this game. But, you know, this is going to be tough. It's the playoffs. Joe Burrow has done it time and time again. He made the Super Bowl last year. Almost won the Super Bowl last year. I'm going to give it. I'm actually going to say the Bengals squeak this out. Joe Burrow is going to pull a Patrick Mahomes and get a field goal in the last second with 13 seconds left, flip, win the coin toss, and score the game-winning touchdown. Two things are wrong with that. That's probably not going to happen again. And two, they changed the playoff rules so that you can't win on scoring a first touchdown. Right, the other team does get a chance.
Right.
So,
which is good. Good.
You're right. Jokes aside. I really do think this is going to be close.
It's in Buffalo. It's in Buffalo. So Buffalo Mafia is really going to be...
And it's going to be cold. Joe Burrow's from Ohio, though, so he's not completely...
True.
And he's been playing in Ohio. It gets cold there. It doesn't get Buffalo cold, but it does get cold there. So he's not going to be completely out of his own element. It's not like, you know... I know he did go to LSU, but it's not like he is from Louisiana and went to LSU. He's from Ohio. He's been in cold weather. So that shouldn't be as much of an issue. But... yeah, I still think the Bengals somehow pulled us out. I'm just betting on Joe Burrow to do a little better than Josh Allen when it comes down to it. I don't know.
I'm thinking because, like you said, the reality is, even though still young in Joe Burrow's career, he's proven like to step up, not just in the big-time games during regular season play, even in the playoffs, as you said, almost got themselves a Super Bowl. I think I'm favoring on the side of Buffalo. I do think the home field advantage is going to play into factor. I think their last game out with their squeaker win over Miami, which surprised everybody, I think that's a wake-up call. Like, listen, we cannot do that. If the Bills play like they do against the if the Bills play like they did against the Dolphins, if they play like that against the Bengals, this could be an ugly game. I don't think that's going to happen. I do still think that the DeMar Hamlin factor is really driving this team to want to achieve great success. So, and I do think the home field advantage is going to play into a factor. So, personally, I think Buffalo, and we're going to have a rematch, and we're going to see the Bills take on the Chiefs. I think that is who is going to win the first game today.
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be fun. It's going to be some fun football going on. But we are going to start talking about some basketball. Yeah, we'll be back on this week's update with a look at some of the All-Star voting. We're back on this week's update. Zach and Tanner, we're talking some All-Star game prediction funds. We have only access to the fan votes.
Right.
So we are making our predictions for the All-Star game starters based on those. That accounts for 50% of the All-Star team decisions. And then 25% goes to the media and 25% to the players. So we're talking about the largest chunk, half of what it's worth.
Do you think that's – I'm just curious. I am a, no pun intended, a fan of letting the fans kind of be a factor, at the very least for the starters. And then – because, of course, how it works is this will determine the starters, and then the two captains will – determine who the reserves are, because, you know, the fans will determine that, or that will help determine that, and then once the starters will be locked in, and then the reserves, and that's when the two captains will get to pick who they want for each side, which I like that they're giving the fans a majority of who they want to see play in the All-Star game.
Right. So, like, they'll still pick to decide who's on what team. Starters will be who the starters
exactly.
are.
Exactly, right.
That's set in stone. It just decides who's teaming up with what.
Exactly.
So it's hard to be like, who's going to be the starters from the East, who's going to be starters from the West, because, well, it doesn't exactly work like that.
Right.
But I think it'd be fun to pick the 10 starters.
We've had some good basketball this year. I mean, I think it was either a week or 2 weeks ago we did MVP votes and the MVP race, and you and I said, at least it may be in our lifetime, it was going to be more candidates and one of the closer races that I think we are going to have, at least at this moment in the season. So just basketball this season has been great in terms of these awards and these All-Stars.
Thank goodness we weren't making podcasts when it was that race between Elgin Baylor, Oscar Robertson, Wilt Chamberlain, and Bill Russell.
Oh, gosh.
When Bill Russell won the MVP as arguably the worst candidate, even though he averaged 18 and 25 a game. Wilt Chamberlain averaged 50 and 25. Elgin Baylor averaged 40 and 20. And Oscar Robertson averaged a 30-point triple-double. This might be... that's probably the tightest MVP race of all time. This might be second or third. I mean, yeah, at least the one in the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. The tightest MVP race, I would say, in the last 20 years.
Yeah.
Just because there's so many candidates. All right, talking about the All-Star voting, though. All right, so we're looking... Okay. We both have the list. I'm assuming you have some thoughts. Just run through your 10 real quick, and then we can run through mine.
So 5 for the West, 5 for the... 5 for the East?
Just say 10, because it's not going to... I don't think East and West is going to end up mattering.
Okay, so just who will be playing in the All-Star game?
Yeah, just name your 10.
All right, well, LeBron James. He's got to play. He's got to play. Steph Curry, having another good season. Out a little bit with injury, but he's having another good season. Giannis. Yeah, you got to get Giannis. I'm also even going to go ahead and just throw KD in there. He's having a great season, and Brooklyn is finally getting the success that they've been waiting for the last, feels like, way too long. I'm throwing Donovan Mitchell in there. He, as a Pacers fan, you know, Cavaliers, one of the rivals, but he has been so good and leading this Cavaliers team to success that I don't think they were even expecting as of this moment. So those are my first five for now. Jokic. He's part of the MVP race. You can't not have him. He is one of those candidates that we mentioned with the MVP race. So there's 6. Luka Doncic, having putting up some of the most insane stats that we've ever seen out of a young player like him. Jason Tatum and Joel Embiid, both players achieving great success for their respective teams and also part of that MVP race. And then I need one more. He leads in the guards currently at the time of this recording, so I'll give it to Kyrie. You know, he's been such a unique player over the last couple years, but he is a really good ball handler. Maybe the second or third best. I'm not going to put him over AI. I'm not going to put him over Allen Iverson, but yeah, I'll put Kyrie to round out my 10 without picking starters or anything at this moment.
Well, those are the starters, because there's only 10 starters.
Okay, well, sure. Those are the starters. Those are the starters.
Those are your starters. There's only 10. For me, it's going to be LeBron, Jokic, and Zion, and then Steph and Luka, Giannis, KD, Jason Tatum, Donovan Mitchell, and Kyrie Irving are my 10. Yeah, I'm kind of basing it basically off of who are kind of the tops in the All-Star fan voting, because I think that's probably who the starters are going to end up being. Again, yeah, just because they come for 50%. I don't know if you were picking because who you think should have it. I'm just picking who I think it will be. I think Zion will get is a little under 50 votes short of Anthony Davis, but I think the players and the media will push Zion over Anthony Davis for that 10th and final spot there. Just because Zion's the best player on a top five team in the West,
which
Anthony
is
Davis
hard to believe that the Pelicans are just playing this well right now, which is why I do still believe Willie Green should be coach of the year. But no, and even though Zion had those injuries, when he wasn't injured, he was a player. If you were anywhere within 10 feet of the rim and he had any type of motivation to just basically put you on a poster, either get out of the way or get ready to have people want to sign autographs with you getting dunked on by Zion. So no, that's a good decision. I kind of forgot about Zion just because he has been injured lately, but no matter what, he is going to be in the All-Star game regardless.
Right. And Well, the All-Star game is far enough away that he should probably be back.
It's just no question.
Hamstring strain?
Strain. Yes.
Should be back.
And keep in mind, this game's not even till like, I believe, late February.
Yeah, right, it's like February 19th or something like that. So he'll be back by then. I'm just going to say he's going to be the All-Star starter. I think the media and the players will push him past Anthony Davis, even if Anthony Davis finishes slightly ahead in the fan vote. Okay, the captains are probably going to be LeBron and Giannis again. It feels like they've been those two for years.
Well, don't forget, for a majority of when we got the fan return votes, which I can't remember the exact dates, but Kevin Durant was actually leading Giannis for the first two fan votes, and then Giannis finally got a final push. So I'm not going to throw KD out just yet. Keep in mind, they had a couple, what you call 3-for-1 days, where if you voted, it counted for 3 votes, and you could vote up to, I think, 2 or 3 different ways. So the question becomes, like you said, LeBron, we might as well etch that he's going to be captain. He's, I believe, yeah, he is leading all voters. Like, if there was he's leading all voters. He's got over 6.5 million votes, so he's definitely a captain. And, you know, Giannis and KD, it is still a pretty close race. So if Brooklyn fans and Kevin Durant fans voted, he might be able to sneak his way into it as an all-star captain, which we've seen before. But it's either Giannis or KD. So I'm going to keep KD in the mix there, though.
Yeah. I guess. Yeah. The All-Star game's more than a month away. I mean, who knows? It's hard to tell without the information of the players' vote and the media vote.
Right.
Because we're looking at the fan vote, but, like, you know, something crazy, like, John Morant's got less than 2 million fan votes, but, you know, players and media could give him so many votes.
Yeah.
That are percentage of votes, because, I mean, obviously, there's millions of people voting for fans, and there aren't millions of people in the NBA or millions of media members who have access to voting. And, like, not every media member can vote. You know, not every person who's technically a part of the media or even the sports media has a vote on who's, you know, going to play in the All-Star game or who has the vote for MVP and things like that. You know, it's a select group. So it's hard to kind of tell, but I think these are probably close enough. It's probably going to be a combination somewhere of our two picks. But it seems like that's kind of – but we're probably about as close as you can get with the information that we have to make these.
Yeah, at this point, it's picks. Just a – this is who the fans want to see in, and because they count for 50%, usually if you're – I would say usually if you're at the top and maybe even two, depending on the category, whether it's Western Conference front court or Eastern Conference guard, whatever decision, usually if you're number one, I would say that – borderline locks in that you're going to be a starter, because you look at LeBron, lock, Steph, lock, Giannis, lock, Kyrie, lock. Like, they are absolutely going to be starting. The only one, no, I was thinking maybe Kyrie, but no, I think those four definite locks for a starter.
Yeah, so, yeah. Well, still plenty of basketball to be played. Still got a bit of time until the All-Star break. But we're also out of time here on this week's update. I'm Zach. He's Tanner. You know, you can catch us where podcasts are played. We'll be back again next week on this week's update.